الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا for everyone who's listening now or after it's uploaded. I apologize, the last session I wasn't able to attend. We were on our way to a vacation in one of the barrier islands, which we didn't even know existed. It's kind of nice to discover, especially an island. obviously, it's been there, but for our family, it's a new discovery. We've been to the Atlantic coast many times, but to find a new island that we didn't know was there and to have a lot of its bounties, mashallah, in terms of the people. I've mentioned this before, about how a barrier island is actually different than other islands. It has a lot of properties that scientifically would be considered an anomaly because it doesn't follow the rules scientifically sometimes in terms of withering through the storms. And sometimes some of the most devastating storms just pass by. And a barrier island means that it's an island that the coast meets first. It's the first land base that the waters hit. So before it gets to, and then there may be another bay, and then there would be the mainland. But so, and it's usually a long strip, a very thin strip. For instance, the island that we visited, Long Beach, New Jersey, it's only 18 miles, the whole island. Long in terms of length. So obviously, those of you who know the East Coast land, how it works in terms of comparison, for instance, with Long Island. Long Island is many miles, over 100 miles of an island, so it's quite big, even in its width. I don't know how long it is in width, but Long Beach, this one that we were on, it's only 18 miles in length. And north to south and east to west, the width is only half a mile. So we could see the bay on one side. And then, in fact, when we go to our roof, when we went to our rooftop terrace, you could see the bay from one side and the coast, the whole coast on the other side. So, alhamdulillah. And it's nice when we usually, if we do visit the beaches, which has been my husband's, it's one of his vacation hotspots he likes to do. We always do it on the off season, obviously, to avoid the fitna that entails going on season. So alhamdulillah, it was all entirely avoided because the vacations haven't come yet, and we were just remarkably surprised at how we had the entire length all to ourselves, practically nobody, maybe one or two people each day we saw on the beach. So alhamdulillah, that was very nice. And it would have been nice. We were hoping, we didn't know Sidi Atif was in the area, but maybe next time, inshallah, you can just come to our home. Sorry, we weren't at home to Sidi Atif. But alhamdulillah, it was a joyful experience. And usually when we find spots like that, the kids say, why don't we build a Muslim community there? Alhamdulillah, maybe Allahu alam. But anyway, okay, let's look at this hadith now. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-wahdatu khayrun min jalisi su'i, wa jalisi salihu khayrun min al-wahdati, wa imla'u al-khayri khayrun min al-sukuti, wa sukutu khayrun min imla'i al-sharri. That solitude is better than bad company, and good company is better than solitude. And speaking of good is better than silence, or pleasantries in speech is better than silence, and silence is better than malevolent speech. So let's take a look at this and the ramifications with this, because it applies, the rippling effect of this hadith goes to all matters, actually. So though it entails, the subject matter is about suhba, about jalisa su, or the opposite, jalisa salih, you know, good company, bad company. So it's about, or silence, is usually, so it's about restricting certain things and allowing the opposite realm, allowing it to stretch and welcome in the good, so expanding it. So in essence, basically conforming or allowing ourselves to be flexible. And if I could, I would use this, since we were just on this barrier island, I use this analogy often because it renders itself to such metaphors. A barrier island, so they say, one of the reasons it's an anomaly is that you would think that when those huge storms, the tropical storms, come, that they would be the first to be hit, the first to be wiped out, since they're the first that the waters, these terrible, turbulent waters hit, that they would be the first to be wiped out. But it's not the case in many occasions, and history proved that. They survive these malevolent storms. And the reason, they say, is because they're able to bend with the wind like a blade of grass. So rather than like a dry twig, which just snaps at the side of turbulence when something strikes it, these islands tend to go with the flow, in other words, and so they're able to survive. In fact, I asked the islanders, many of you know, I mentioned, in fact, I think we did a podcast right after the Hurricane Irene last year here in New York, how devastating it was. But I asked the islanders how they passed through that, and they said it was a breeze. They didn't get, mashallah, much of any damage at all. And that was what was reported, actually, in the news, that it was a very weird pattern. And a lot of the towns that were hit, nobody had predicted would be hit. Like in our region, north of us in the Catskills, it was one of the most devastatingly affected by that storm. So, subhanAllah, and that's not always the case with barrier islands, but many times it defies the scientific laws and it's able to withstand itself. So what we get from this hikmah in terms of solitude is better than bad company. So we're not taking in these negative forces around us. And so we say that in addition to just talking about suhba and or speech, these are the two most important matters mentioned in this hadith in terms of our vulnerability. We have to watch and recognize this hikmah. And it's easier said than done, because how many of us, if we don't have the good choices around us, will choose to have solitude? It's human nature to want company. And so usually what we do is, if we're not thinking about it, we just take whatever's there in terms of company. We'll go out. We let our, if there are, negative sources around us, we'll go with the flow just to have friends, just for the sake of being with company. So we're trying to get at a higher level, and this is what this hadith is reminding us, that in those situations, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best company, so we don't have to have make these choices, because we're weak in these matters. That's why it's good to reflect upon them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us tawfiq in implementing this. Because if we are in those situations where we don't find good company, then we should remember and reflect on this, that solitude is better than. And what we can do is bring that better company in other aspects of our life, in terms of books, for instance. A good author is a good company. And writers have mentioned this, those who love to read, that, and in fact, we should now look at this hadith in terms of applying it elsewhere to all of our sensory faculties. We should apply this. And in fact, it applies very much so in that realm of good books, good reads, as they say. They have these online people recommending things to each other. It used to be that your teachers or your parents would recommend books to you, and those were the ones you would take first. You would grasp those first. And what is the reason for all of that? To protect you from picking these bad choices. In fact, in many of the books, even in a grammar book, for instance, a grammarian, for instance, if you take Hidayat al-Nahu, a grammar book, that it's a primary grammar book in the Arabic language. The author mentions that he wrote this book because there are other books out there that might confuse the reader, and some authors, some grammarians, made it too complicated, and others just convoluted the subject matter. And so even in grammar, he says, I'm writing this منسيانة الذهني, to protect the mind from error. So I'm trying to rein in the reader's mind so that it doesn't err in terms of grammar. And this is our concept in all books. So even in grammar, this thought is written about. So how about all these other books that we read and we think we're not getting affected by? Or if we look at, you know, all the online readings we do, this is why we must, you know, alhamdulillah, that there are good people that are doing da'wah and using these technological advancements to benefit, because Allahu alam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have allowed it to continue, had there not been people using it for good, Allahu alam. But so in terms of the newspaper too, many people think that it's a, you know, intellectual quote-unquote activity to read, for instance, the Sunday paper, which for the most part is garbage, nothing other than garbage. You know, there's various quotes about the newspapers. You know, someone said that, you know, I read the sports section only because it shows all of mankind's advancements, and I never read the front page because it shows all of the failures of mankind. But that's, for the most part, what the newspapers have, especially in our time. And some comedian said that, you know, how could they put out that Sunday paper when every day we're getting the paper? Does all that happen on a Sunday when everyone is supposed to be relaxing it and you got this big, huge paper? So it's just the way, you know, we have to keep our minds protected. And this is how we do it, usually by restriction. So we are selective in these matters. So all of our sensory faculties can be reined in and choose the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us this incredible, incredible faculty of limited free will. So, and that's what separates us from all of the creation. So we must use it in a very, with the responsibility that comes with it. So solitude is better than bad company. And then good company is better than solitude. And then, of course, in terms of the tongue, watching what we say. This is why silence is spoken about in so many various hadiths, the reminders about keeping silent. And it was the traditional way of knowledge, actually, that we keep silent in the beginning years as we accrue knowledge. And your teacher would allow you to know when you can speak, so that when we finally do speak, that what comes, pours out, is beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. And obviously, waliyadu billah, we want to keep far away from illa ash-shari, which is malevolence or evil kind of speech. So we want to restrict these things and garner the best of it. And then let's go on to apply it in other analogies. In terms of food as well, be selective in our food. So if there's a choice between a GMO Frankenstein food and something basic, just butter or cheese, then that's all pure and natural. We want to go for that. Or if there's nothing except just milk, pure wholesome milk directly from, you know, optimally raw milk, but at the very least not with hormones injected in it. And all these other lab-like material. This is, in essence, what they do to milk. If you look at the traditional text, you know, the word that is used for milk is leban, which nowadays in the Arabic world they use for cheese, but and they use halib for milk. But leban is the traditional word for milk, and sometimes even the word eat was used for milk. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is food. So you can get an understanding of why real milk should have that element. Like, it's very satisfying. It satisfies because it's a whole meal. And if you think about it, raw milk, if you look at it, if you ever purchased it, it's a vast difference between the milk you get in the marketplace and a supermarket, because the raw milk will, the cream will rise to the top. So you get this essence of chewing practically. It has to, you swallow some, you know, curds of cream if you haven't mixed it before you drink it. So, but it has that direct experience of being a full meal. So that those are the choices that we need to make. And it's we need to apply this to everything we see around us, because everything has become adulterated. Our speech, you know, these horrible pictures, the internet has, you know, you have to block out all of these pictures. You can't just go to any website. So all of that needs to be filtered out. And the more we do that, you know, in the Arab world, many of the women, you know, who Orientalists sometimes discover that they do find that Muslim women, especially ones that don't go out much and have not seen much of the world, they have this essential beauty within them. It's because they haven't seen many of these horrific things. And so, of course, that's going to have a direct reflection on their beauty. So you will find that, and I've written about this a while ago, that the most beautiful women in the world, no one will ever see, because they're protected. There's a hijab, and they're protected from many of these obscene things in the world. And, you know, the world will not see them, because that's the nature of beauty. Some of the most beautiful things in terms of creatures are in the sea. You don't even know, not even an iota of all the various creatures that are in the sea, because we haven't, you know, entered that endeavor in full skill yet. I mean, we're talking about going to space, and, you know, it's like Virgin Atlantic. They already have these spots reserved to go into space when we haven't even discovered our Earth and what it contains and all of its realm of splendor and beauty. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to implement this hadith and the wisdoms contained therein, and apply it to all aspects of our life. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة